Hello, everyone, and thank you for joining. We're going to begin first with a prayer, and we've asked Nick Tilson to offer that. So over to you, Nick.
Hey, everybody. Welcome. Nick Tilson, the Machiapi, Chantea, Washtena, Pechuza, Apollo. This is Nick Tilson, Oglala Lakota. I am coming onto this platform from the land, the Osheti Shalkoi, here in the Kesapa, and Oglala from Pine Ridge. And so I'm going to say a prayer at this time for our relative Leonard Paltier and this long struggle for his freedom and really for his liberation. How the Tungashala, Adewa Kantaka Tungashala, Lakobi Tronkile Tungashala, Wanaku Akan, Wanaku Ashte, Nabichakupo Tungashala. I pray that you watch over each and every one of us from all of our different nations, our different communities, all of the different walks of life that we come from. We make a prayer to Goshala for Leonard Peltier, to Goshala, for the struggle that he has been in throughout his life. That you watch over him and help him and guide him, to Goshala. Watch over his mind, his body, his spirit, to Goshala. Let his spirit and his body and his mind know that many of us are out here in this movement fighting for his liberation, fighting for him as a for him to return back to his community and back to his people, to Goshala. I pray to Goshala that you make a way, that you clear the air and make a way so that we can all come together and make his liberation and his freedom possible. Thank you for guiding us. And I make a special prayer to Goshala for all of the ones who have come before, all of the ones who have spent countless hours and years and decades of their lives fighting for Leonard's liberation and for Leonard's freedom, and that they're not able to be with us here in person as we see this come to fruition, but that they're there in spirit. Thank you, Creator, for the sacrifices that the warriors, men, women, and transgendered people before us have made a way for us to be here to this day.
Beautiful. Thank you so much, Nick. Hello, everybody. Thank you for joining us today. My name is Allie McCracken, and I am joining you live from the Amnesty International Regional Office for the Americas in Mexico City. Just a couple of words before we start. Amnesty International is a global human rights organization, and we have 11 million members worldwide. We are extremely proud to be in partnership with the Indian Collective in the struggle to free Leonard Peltier, a Native American who has been imprisoned in the United States for almost 50 years. And I just want to let you all know today that the fight to free Leonard extends far, far beyond the United States. And we are working with activists in Argentina, Greece, Turkey, Australia, Nigeria, and many, many more countries who have been taking action to convince President Biden that the time to free Leonard Peltier is now. So when will the president listen to the world? So today I'm honored to introduce our two distinguished speakers. Nick Tilson is the president and CEO of the Indian Collective, and Holly Cook Macaro leads the government affairs at Indian Collective. And Holly, with that, please take it away.
Thank you, Ali. I'm going to start with a brief intros. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, we can.
Great. Ani in Buju, Baganigij Guakwe, Indigenikaz, Makwak Nindo Dem, Musquagami Wizagaganing, and Don Chaba. I am from the Red Lake Band of Ojibwe Indians in northern Minnesota. I'm from the Bear Clan. And my Ojibwe name is Hole in the Sky Woman. My English name is Holly Cook Macaro, and I'm in government affairs with Indian Collective. And before we start, I'm going to hand it over to Nick to also do a brief intro, and then we'll get into the conversation.
Yeah, I'll keep it short. This is Nick Tilson, Oglala Lakota, father of four, president, CEO, and founder of Indian Collective. And I'm on this platform from the Osheti Shakowi lands of my people. And it was on my reservation that this incident happened. And I would say that I think I am the third generation organizer and activist fighting for Leonard's freedom, just even within my family.
Awesome. Thank you, Nick. For everyone listening, I want let's start. If you can give us a little background about Indian Collective, its mission and its work. You have an amazing history, a personal history of advocacy and activism, not only in support of Leonard Peltier, but all across Indian country. And can you tell us both about Indian Collective and then this multi-generational history and support for Leonard's freedom?
Yeah, I'll try to keep it relatively short. You know, my father, my grandfather, Ken Tilson, he was one of the first lawyers fighting for the American Indian Movement as they were first policing the police on the streets of Minneapolis there in the late 1960s, early 1970s. And my mom was a student and an organizer with the Oglala Civil Rights Organization on Pine Ridge that first invited the American Indian Movement to come to Pine Ridge in the 1970s as they were fighting uranium exploration and as they were fighting corruption of the tribal government at the time. And that led to the, you know, occupation or the siege at Wounded Knee in 1973. And that's where my parents met. To this day, my family's land, and I live probably about 3.5 miles from Wounded Knee. And so that's been my family history. My father, mother, grandmother, grandma, grandfather started the Wounded Knee Legal Defense Committee after the occupation of Wounded Knee in 1973, and to help free the people that were being arrested at that time after Wounded Knee and the years after. I mean, people forget that Leonard Peltier's struggle or that is connected to the suppression of the entire American Indian Movement. And so, you know, at one given time, the entire American Indian Movement, at one time, every one of its leaders was probably facing charges or jailed or incarcerated or facing time. And so there was organized, constant organized effort to try to keep people out of jail. And so as a kid, I grew up licking envelopes for Leonard Peltier's freedom and collecting signatures. It's been a long, you know, a long struggle for his freedom. And I created Indian Collective to really, you know, invest into the self-determination of Indigenous people everywhere that were rolling up their sleeves to do the work of defending, developing, and decolonizing, meaning defending human rights, air, land, water, plants, medicines, you know, while developing regenerative and inclusive economies based in our Indigenous values, and decolonizing through the revitalization of Indigenous languages and ceremonies and lifeways. And so Indian Collective does that work in a multi-pronged strategy of, through our grant-making arm, we have invested and have given grants to over 700 organizations and fellows over the past 5 years that are doing that work. We also have a lending arm that is doing that through lending as people are creating economic solutions that are regenerative and better for the environment. And then through our policy and advocacy arm of the collective, we organize our people, we build narratives, and we fight for people on the front lines and stand up for Indian people everywhere who are experiencing persecution. And we start as grassroots organizers, you know, right here in Minneluzaha in Rapid City, and then we organize outward and work with a policy team and our communications team to make sure that our organizing and advocacy work continues to have far-reaching impact. And we have worked really hard to help amplify the growing Indigenous-led, you know, land-back movement that is popping off all throughout the indigenous world of indigenous people fighting for land pack and really fighting for indigenous liberation. And so, in short, Endean Collective is a movement infrastructure organization that funds, supports, and organizes indigenous people fighting for liberation throughout throughout North America.
Thanks, Nick. You bring a lot of experience and a really strong voice to this effort in support of Leonard's freedom. And for those who may not be familiar with the background of the case, Leonard Peltier, who is now 78 on September 12th, he will be 79. He is a Native American activist. He was a member of the American Indian Movement. He's a citizen of the Turtle Mountain Band of Chippewa Indians, and he is now in his 48th year of incarceration. He's serving two life sentences in a maximum security federal prison down in Coleman, Florida, for his alleged role in the deaths of two FBI agents during the shootout at Pine Ridge that Nick has talked a bit about. That shootout was in South Dakota in 1975. He went to prison at the age of 32. If he had pled guilty, he would have been out 30 years ago. He has maintained his innocence for to this day. And I went down to visit him about 6 weeks ago. And Leonard Peltier is now elderly and really an elderly man in a maximum security facility in Coleman, Florida. His conviction is essentially turning into a de facto death sentence if he's not released soon. His imprisonment, and thanks to Amnesty International's long advocacy and on the global level, has been recognized as the result of prosecutorial misconduct and constitutional violations at every level. And this effort to free him now is really gaining some progress. Our partnership with Amnesty International and the long effort and support of Endean Collective in moving his clemency petition forward in partnership with former federal judge Kevin Sharp that effort has been very active over the last couple of years, and really building on the shoulders of so many who have worked for so long to keep Leonard's name and his incarceration at the forefront of every single administration that has come and gone while he's been in prison. I think folks asked, you know, why now? Why are we doing this push again? Why should they add their voice to this effort that has been so long running? And it is really because we've reached a tipping point. Over the last few years, one by one, everyone who has been involved on the prosecution side have stepped forward, and they've underscored the constitutional violations, the prosecutorial misconduct that took place during the investigation and the trial that led to his conviction. At first, it was Gerald Haney, who was the judge who presided over Leonard's 1986 appeal in the Eighth Circuit. He first called for his release in 1991, and then he called for it again in 2000. That was the first. And former United States Attorney in that district, James Reynolds, his office handled the prosecution and appeal of Peltier's case, has called on President Biden to commute the remainder of his sentence. And in his letter, he said these powerful words, that his conviction and his continued incarceration is a testament to a time and a system of justice that no longer has a place in our society. And then just recently in December of last year, of 22, retired FBI special agent Colleen Rowley, she was a special agent in charge of the Minneapolis field office, which has the Dakotas under its jurisdiction. She wrote a letter to President Biden, and she raised, specifically addressing what we've all known was the longstanding, and these are her words, longstanding, horribly wrongful, oppressive treatment of Indians in the U.S. and how that played a role in Peltier's case. And critically, and this is a quote, the FBI family vendetta behind the agency's opposition to clemency. And also just recently, the United Nations Working Group on Arbitrary Detention specifically noted the anti-Indigenous bias surrounding Leonard's detention, stating simply that he continues to be detained because he is Native American. Those are shocking words in 2023. We are now at the point where we are reaching the end of another president's term in office, first term. This is a time when the political power and voice of Indian country and indigenous voices around the world has really never been stronger. This is why we are making this push, where we'll be talking about an action a bit more. But I'm going to turn it back over to Nick to talk a bit about building on some of these comments that I just noted. You know, Leonard is often called the Nelson Mandela of indigenous people. He's been incarcerated so long that even Nelson Mandela is one of the many people who called for his release. Mandela was incarcerated for 27 years and with global attention. Leonard is still languishing in a federal maximum security, going on nearly 50 years. Nick, why do you think Leonard is still in prison?
I think that Leonard is in prison because the United States government, led by the Federal Bureau of Investigation, led a war and a reign of terror against American Indian people in the 1970s. And they led a COINTELPRO strategy and ran a COINTELPRO, a counterintelligence strategy, to defuse the American Indian movement and to prevent the uprising or try to intervene in the uprising of the indigenous people's movement at the time. And so Leonard's case cannot be thought about in a silo. At that time, the Federal Bureau of Investigation and its counterintelligence program did not care about human rights. They did not care about the constitutional rights. They only cared about using its full power to disrupt a movement, because they seen this movement and they seen the indigenous people's movement and the American Indian movement as a threat, because that movement was magnifying the injustices that happened to indigenous people. It was illuminating and bringing to light that the whole United States of America was being built on the stolen lands of indigenous people. And they decided that they were going to choose a battleground to attack the American Indian movement. And that battleground was my homelands. That my battleground was the land of the Oglala people. And that they were going to use that as a way to attack us. And Mr. Leonard Peltier's continued incarceration stemmed from that strategy. And that's what people have to understand and realize, that it was part of this broader movement to, you know, to make the people suffer. And that I think that the Federal Bureau of Investigation had become so invested into villainizing Leonard Peltier and turning him into a villain instead of a freedom fighter. And that's why he continues to be incarcerated till this day, is people have violated many, many laws in order to keep him in there, violated many portions of the Constitution, the very laws in which they have sworn an oath to uphold. They have violated those laws. And we see that consistent with how they are treating indigenous people everywhere, how they have treated indigenous people throughout history, and how they continue to treat indigenous people to this day. The laws only pertain to certain members of certain race or pertain to certain people in positions of power. And so these are the complexities of why Leonard Peltier has still been in prison to this day. We have seen an array of inaccurate, false narratives that have been created throughout the Department of Justice and the Federal Bureau of Investigation to try to keep him in there. False narratives where they couldn't prove anything, but they continued to do that and push those narratives. And so that's where we land off today, you know. And I think it's important for folks to know that, like, Leonard Peltier himself has, you know, continuously held up his innocence, but continues to stand strong on behalf of Indigenous people. And now we're, you know, towards the end of his life, where he deserves freedom. And so I think that, you know, that Leonard's struggle, that Leonard's incarceration, you know, what it has meant to Indigenous people, it's been a symbol of the injustice that we face on a continuous basis throughout history, and a symbol that of injustice. And sometimes people forget, there's a human being inside of there, you know? And so we're fighting for a human being, and we're fighting for an individual person who has also been extreme, you know, has experienced huge amounts of injustice while he's been incarcerated there. And so those are the biggest reasons why I think that Leonard Peltier has been, has been kept in prison.
Thank you, Nick. You know, when you were talking about all of the shenanigans that have taken place, you know, the prosecution admitted they didn't have any evidence that Leonard had actually committed a crime that day. And that supports what Colleen Rowley has said, is this FBI vendetta. There was going to be someone that paid. And Leonard is approaching his 49th year in prison for that. I mentioned that, you know, why now? And part of that is that we are once again approaching the end of a presidential administration, right? And the last couple of Democratic, three Democratic administrations have been remarkable for Indian country. And really none more so than President Biden. He has named Deb Haaland as Secretary of the Interior. It's still hard, you know, I think it's still hard for some of Indian country to get around that it's not our friend Deb up there, but really a member of the president's cabinet, right? And everything that goes along with that. Has also named more Native Americans to Senate confirmed positions, issued an order on tribal consultation that is critical to Indian voices and tribal leadership voices being heard throughout an administration, and where decisions are made that tribal voices are consulted. And the co-management initiative, which supports the overall land back efforts in Indian country, there is a lot from the investments in the IRA. This is a remarkable administration. I also think that should President Biden not choose to support the release, either through clemency or compassionate release, for Leonard Peltier, it's going to be a stain on his administration. It is going to be yet another opportunity to provide justice for someone who is now recognized as being the fall guy and the target of an FBI family vendetta. And as James Reynolds, the prosecuting attorney, has said over and over, enough is enough. And that, I think, is why we all are working hard to bring this to the attention of the administration. We have the support of a number of members of Congress, tribal leadership throughout the United States. And that is going to be the focus as we move towards 2024 and those elections. Nick, you started to touch on this just a bit, but what does this represent for Indian country? What would the release of Leonard Peltier mean to tribes and Indigenous people across the country?
I mean, that's like, it's such a loaded question, but I'll do my best to answer it. You know, I think that, like I mentioned before, Leonard's incarceration, I guess what it would mean to us, we've experienced immense amount of injustice as Indigenous people here in the United States, at the hands of the United States government, at the hands of the Federal Bureau of Investigation, and we continue to experience that to this day. Leonard's incarceration and wrongful incarceration has become a symbol of injustice that has spanned decades. And we have seen things ebb and flow and change throughout Indian country. But something that has not changed is Leonard Peltier getting any form of justice, or Leonard Peltier, his case getting equal attention as it relates to the issue of justice. And to the point where it felt like politicians and different folks and have ignored this issue. And it becomes an issue somebody doesn't want to touch, or people don't want to do this. So Leonard Peltier's, you know, release would mean that for everybody who has fought for him and fought for Indigenous people's rights and our liberation, that it wasn't for nothing, you know. It would represent some form of acknowledgement that the United States, in fact, wage a war against the Indigenous people of this continent, incarcerated one of our people for almost 50 years, and then came to a realization that that was wrong. And so it would represent a step in the right direction. It would represent the United States government beginning to take its accountability in its treatment of Indigenous people. It would continue to spark a conversation in the modern movement about how the United States government and its different entities and the different laws being created by states to try to prohibit a movement, a growth of a movement for Indigenous liberation. So it would represent a variety of different things. And it would represent, I think, a healing for a whole generation, because you have to remember that Leonard Peltier came from a generation of warriors, men, women, non-binary folks who are all fighting for Indigenous people's rights. And if you talk to the old ones, there is a big sense of heartache when you go into a battle and one of your people has been captured. And so it would represent a healing for people, especially in the older generation, who went on to live their lives, who went on to continue to fight for Indigenous people's rights, who went on to continue to save Indigenous languages and build up communities, and who went on to do things in their life. And they wish they could have had the opportunity to do those things with Leonard. And so I think that it would represent a healing for them. And I also think that for Leonard himself, it would represent that all of his sacrifice and his commitment to the cause of Indigenous people's rights and all the experiences that he endured as a wrongfully incarcerated Indigenous person in this country, it would show him that that was all not for nothing. And I think that the story, the narrative, the story needs to be told. And it needs to be told so it doesn't happen again. It needs to be told, and the end of the story needs to be that Leonard Peltier was released. And he was released because this government began to start taking accountability for its actions and its treatment of Indigenous people. And that's what I think that it would mean for the indigenous people to have Leonard Peltier released.
Thank you, Nick. I'm always struck when I look at the what the United Nations Working Group said, that he continues to be detained because he is Native American. It's shocking. And the symbolism, I think, of what you said, multi-generational, he has been the inspiration for three generations of activism in Indian country. That time period in the 1970s was a period of such change, political change for Indian country, beginning with the leadership of our national organizations and going on to the landmark legislation that was put together in the late 70s. And a lot of that was a result of the activism and voice of the American Indian movement that brought us to the table, that brought the attention to the injustices of both the criminal justice system and the ignoring of the provisions of the treaties that we signed with the United States and the responsibilities that were not being carried out by the United States and delivered to Indian country. The all of that entire time period, I think, is probably the most profound politically for Indian country. Leonard remains the symbol of the injustice. And I think of one of the main issues that the American Indian movement wanted to bring attention to was the mistreatment by law enforcement. And the American Indian movement was born in Minneapolis, Minnesota. And just last month, we saw yet another report come out from the Department of Justice that specifically noted the mistreatment of Native Americans to this day by law enforcement in Minneapolis, Minnesota. So what they fought to bring attention to, you know, back then continues to this day, but that work began in the 1970s with the American Indian Movement and all the work that they did bringing Indian countries issues to the table is something that we all need to remember and be aware of. I want to make sure that we share information about some of the work that we're doing to continue to amplify and bring our efforts and support for Leonard's release to the president. Nick, can you talk a bit about the action and activities we have building up to September 12th, the things we have building up to that, and I can talk about some other support options as well.
Yeah. So as we approach Leonard's birthday on the 12th, we are mobilizing and putting pressure and raising the narrative about his incarceration and the efforts to free him from prison. And so, but we're doing it in a ceremonial way, but we're also doing it in organizing as well. And so we're actually going to have a ceremony on September 7th, and it's going to be at the Jumping Bull land in Ogallala, South Dakota. And that ceremony is going to be a healing ceremony and a ceremony for protection. And then on the 8th, departing from Rapid City, we're going to have a caravan from Minnelugaha, from right here at Indian Collective, and then we're gonna make three stops on our way, to Washington D.C. in this caravan. We're gonna first stop in Minneapolis on the evening of the 8th, and we'll be there meeting with members of the community. And some people will be joining the caravan when we get to Minneapolis. And then on the 9th, we'll be making our way to Chicago, and we'll be having folks join the caravan in Chicago. And then from there, we'll go on to Pittsburgh. People will be joining the caravan in Pittsburgh. And then we'll be arriving in Washington, D.C. on the 11th. The caravan will pull into Washington, D.C. on the 11th. And then on the 12th is when we will have in action and a march there in front of the White House in our partnership between NDN Collective, Amnesty International, and of course, grassroots people everywhere fighting for Leonard Peltier's liberation. And we'll have a range of different speakers there to put some context for it. And the whole purpose is that we're going to be applying some pressure onto this administration so that people do not forget about Leonard Peltier's struggle and bringing light to it. And so people will be meeting with members of Congress and putting pressure on the White House, putting pressure on the powers that be so that we can continue to call for the clemency and the release of all of our relative Leonard Peltier. So those are the activities that are planned for between now and September 12th.
Awesome. Thank you. And you can check out the Twitter handles of either at Amnesty USA or at Indian Collective. Each of our sites have information about how to join the action. If you are on the East Coast or want to travel out to the East Coast or meet up with and support any of the buses that that are stopping, I think the Minneapolis and Chicago have significant events planned to send off as the buses and the caravan makes its way through there. We also have Dallas Goldtooth, who will be emceeing our action. He's been a longtime supporter of the release of Leonard Peltier and is lending his voice to this as well. One of the things that is one of the most important tools that we're using is public pressure. So reposting off of the social media from Amnesty USA and Indian Collective is really helpful. Calling the White House, calling your member of Congress. We are actively working on letters and working with members of Congress who are supportive of the release and relaying their support to the White House. And those letters from elected officials and tribal leaders are really critical in gaining the attention of President Biden and highlighting his opportunity, this opportunity that he has alone in freeing Leonard Peltier. So that is all taking place on September 12th. Again, go to our websites and for more information about how you can help, or at any time send a note to Amnesty or to Indian Collective off of our websites, and we can help you make your voice heard in supporting the release of Leonard Peltier. Allie, I'm going to turn it back over to you for any closing, or Nick, if you had any closing remarks, now's the time.
I think the biggest thing that I want to say is just encouraging people to come out, and stand with us, come out in front of the White House on September 12th, and join us in our resistance and our call for the release of Leonard Peltier. And also big shout outs to Amnesty International for partnering with Indian Collective on these efforts. And to all the grassroots people who are organizing and coming along. And just, I said this earlier, but in this particular struggle, it has been multi-generational. And many people who have fought for Leonard Peltier's freedom are not with us anymore because they went on to the spirit world. But just continue to ask for people to bring good energy and also bring, bring your ancestors with you and in this effort to release Leonard Peltier.
Thank you, Nick, and thank you, Holly. On behalf of Amnesty International, we are extremely proud to be in solidarity with both of you, Indian Collective, and everyone in the movement and the struggle to free Leonard Peltier. Hope to see everybody at the White House on September 12th, and I hope you all have a wonderful day. Thank you so much for joining.
Awesome. Miigwech, Ali. Miigwech, Nick.